73 degrees as we go into what might very well be, probably for most of us, the final hour of the work week on a Thursday. Yes, Independence Day tomorrow, and looking forward to that, and also looking forward to the second hour of the Jeremy Lawrence Show here with you. It's 4:08, and glad that you've had the time to be with us today. You know, if you missed out on it earlier, before we dig back into our topic, Bob Larson was with us just about 20 minutes ago, almost about 30 minutes ago, actually, and he informed us that, you know what, the weekend looks pretty nice. So we're hearing all that, all the stuff about you know, the tropical storm and all of the stuff that's going on the East Coast. Well, no, not here.
Nah, we got
going to be able to bask in it.
Yeah, and nice,
just enjoy. So
sunny, cool weather.
So looking forward to that. Looking forward to good fireworks weather and lots of fireworks displays all over the area as well. So I mean, you could take them in from Portage to Schoolcraft to Kalamazoo to Alamo Township, etc., etc., etc. It's just, it's all over the place. So good stuff for you to be able to check out. All right, we were talking a little bit about Obamacare before, and if you're just joining us, we'll go over briefly some of the data that we come up to finding here. The Manhattan Institute had an interactive map that they released, county-by-county basis, comparing what premiums were like before Obamacare and after. Because remember, it's called the Affordable Care Act. There's a longer name for it, but that's the basis of it, the Affordable Care Act. Tell me if you find this affordable. They were able to, comparing rates before and after, show that there were increases for, and get this, in statewide averages, men aged 27 were paying 107% more than before, women 119% more than before. For age 40, 73% at 57, and 64 was 52% and 66%. Broken down for Kalamazoo, it looks fairly similar. The numbers are a little different, but it basically reflects the same thing, that there was a pretty significant hike in the rate of premiums. Now, we were going over a piece that appeared in the Detroit News the other day, and this comes from Dr. Stephen Parenti. He is the professor of health finance, associate dean of the Carlson School of Management, and that's at the University of Minnesota. And he went over it, talking about, all right, what's going to happen with Obamacare in the next few years? Because you talk about, all right, how affordable does it look that premiums went up, particularly the younger you are, the worse it got. And if you're that young, your premiums went up by double, at least. Now, fast forward us to 2017, when the Affordable Care Act actually kicks in completely. You're saying, what? It hasn't kicked in completely yet? Oh, my gosh. Well, you'll be saying that, and I hope you're sitting down when you hear this. The prices in 2017 are going to go up significantly, and here's why. Right now, in the Affordable Care Act, there are a couple of things that that insurance companies are able to access. There is the reinsurance and risk corridor programs. The reinsurance allows insurers to bill the government for the most expensive patients. That's to soften the blow for the pre-existing conditions and that kind of thing, because that insurance companies see that as a bigger risk. And they got to charge somebody for this. So they charge us, but they've also been able to mitigate that by charging the government. And the risk corridor, that's one that guarantees the industry's losses will be subsidized. So if they take any losses up through 2017, the government subsidizes those. Now, when those two programs end, guess what? Insurance companies are not suddenly going to eat those costs. They're not going to suddenly go, oh, gee, I guess we'll just be good citizens and take it in the stomach on this one. Because who wants to do that? So what will happen to premiums? They'll go up. And they'll go up to cover the shortfalls based on those. And insurance companies will have to do that, otherwise they won't be making any money. And what happens to businesses that don't make money?
They go out of business.
There you go. Data is predicting an average premium for a bronze family plan in Michigan might jump from $13,218 to $17,180, a 30% jump. 30%. And Dr. Parenti is predicting that over the course of a decade, within a decade, the ranks of the state's uninsured could swell by 64% because we will no longer be able to afford it. People will sit there and go, you know what? It's going to be cheaper for me to pay the, what do they call it? The shared responsibility fee. Basically the tax for not having health insurance. Because people might decide, you know what? Yeah. I might end up having to pay that because it's cheaper than actually having health insurance. Now, think about this. 2016, he's projecting that businesses, not all businesses, but many, would stop offering health insurance because it'll get too expensive for them. This is when the employer mandate kicks in. And the employer mandate says, all right, you've got to provide insurance for your employees, and if you don't, we're going to fine you. This is how much. And you can imagine employers looking at this going, all right, what's the bottom line here? Best way to save money is if it's cheaper to provide insurance, they'll do it. But if it's cheaper to say, well, we'll pay the penalty, they'll pay the penalty. And then guess what? And for many people that are on employer-provided plans, that ought to absolutely freeze your blood. Think about that, because then you get thrown out on the same exchanges everybody's been complaining about. Think about what that will do. You talk about this Affordable Care Act. Look at all these numbers. Think about it. All of these numbers indicate that they really should have renamed it. Instead of the Affordable Care Act, they should call it the Available Care Act. Because that's all it's done is made it available to people. And I think that brings up the one problem I've had with this. Bottom line, I don't care if the government wants to set up exchanges. That's fine. Knock yourself out. Have a one-stop shop for people to be able to go and see who offers the cheapest rates. That's fine. If the government wants to do it, knock yourself out. I don't care. Yes, I know it takes some money to do. But the big problem with this anyway is that you are requiring people to buy a product. You are requiring people with this law to buy a product just simply because they have the audacity to draw breath. Well, if you're dead, that's fine. You don't have to buy health insurance. But you know what? If you're sucking in oxygen, you're going to have to buy health insurance or we're going to fine you. And for many people that, you know, you've seen, because some people are having to pay the fines now because they're paying their rates and things like that for next year, the estimated taxes and things like that. And that's part of it. And the rate for the first year is, okay, it's not that bad. Okay, yeah, I get that. Well, guess what? It goes up. Just like everything else with this, it goes up. And that's what we're seeing as we move ahead with this, is that it's going to get to the point where, you know, this was supposed to insure people, and if it really does what we see that it's doing, what it's going to end up doing is kicking more people off of their insurance.
And then not a whole lot of people are going to have it then.
And how is that good? How is that good for people to be off of health insurance? And we've been told that, well, you have to have health insurance. I mean, it's so expensive for health care these days. You've got to have health insurance.
And if you don't have it, then you're going to have to pay for everything out of pocket. You're going to have people mm-hmm. in massive amounts of debt. And something's bad is going to happen with that.
And here's the goal. Here's the thing. And I've said this all along about Obamacare. The real goal was this. To raise rates and to cause problems so much that health insurance companies would end up out of business or out of luck. And then what happens? People are screaming, we've got to do something, and dun, 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 government solution. Single-payer system. And there are people going, oh, yes, that would be wonderful. But single-payer system, think about how high all of these rates are going to go. And think about how high that's going to be, because when it comes down to it, that means more taxes for you and I. More of our hard-earned money going to the government to be able to pay for stuff that we can't afford. And particularly, put it on this footing, for stuff we don't need. I'd like somebody to tell me, and it can be somebody in the know or otherwise, to tell me why in the world I need insurance to cover maternity. Me, a man, to cover maternity. All right, if it was possible for me to get pregnant, okay, but I'm a man, it doesn't happen. And I'm not necessarily saying I'm better or worse, I'm just saying I'm different. And anybody that gets into the health insurance industry, anybody that digs into it and figures it out, you know what? We're not all the same. And it's not just based on sex, it's based on level of health. I can guarantee you what I need in a health plan is going to be different than what you need in one, and I don't care what we have in common, there are going to be differences. So why in the world should I have to pay for the exact same insurance that you get when I'm only going to be using maybe a third of it, and you're going to be using a different third of it? And for some people, if they don't see the need to have health insurance, why can't they make the choice to say, you know what? I don't need it. Not going to buy it. This is the big problem all the way around with this. And here's the thing. 2017, ask yourself a question. What happens in 2017? That's right, a new president will take office. They do all of this. They have fixed all of this stuff so that things happen after certain points. Well, after this election, then this will kick in. And after this election, then this will kick in. And all the people that we get to blame for this are gone. Think about that. And when we get to this point, there are people that are watching this. I'm watching this. And I study this. And I dig into things. And I see these numbers. And I come to you and I report on them. I come to you and I tell you what I'm finding. Because that's the stuff you need to hear about. But there are people in this country who don't know these things. They don't know what the numbers have told. Oh, well, you know what? Healthcare is cheaper. Why do you think it's cheaper? Well, the president said so. Well, this is a president that's not exactly known for telling the truth all the time either. It's the same president that said, you know what? If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. A lot of people are finding out that's not true. To say nothing about all the times when he goes, oh, shucks, I learned about that on the news just like you did. Uh-huh. Whatever. But think about this. There are people that have not seen these numbers, have not seen these figures. They don't know that health insurance has jumped up by that much. Either they don't know it or they don't care. But what happens when all these numbers, when all this stuff hits us, when all these things come along and hit us square in the face, then what happens? All of these people are going, wow, I had no idea. What in the world caused this? And I think we know politics enough to know that when that happens, those that actually put this plan in place and put it in motion and put it in a spot where it affects all of us, they'll blame the other guys. Well, if they'd only cooperated, things would have been better. They haven't cooperated. They haven't done what they need to do. See? That's why we're having problems. We wouldn't have had problems if they wouldn't have tried to, you know, if they keep trying to repeal this thing and they voted on it 40 times. And you know what? There's a reason they voted on this 40 times, because it's bad policy.
The other side didn't want it.
And there wasn't a single soul on the Republican side that voted for it. There were a bunch of Democrats that voted for it. That's why we got stuck with it. But there wasn't anybody on the Republican side that voted for this. There wasn't anybody that wanted it. They saw what it's doing. They see the numbers that I'm sharing with you right now, and they're saying, you know what? It's bad news. It's bad business. We need to get this thing off the books. And I don't know that it's even necessarily a defense to say, you know what? Well, you need to have a replacement. I don't know that it's a defense at this point to be able to look at it and go, you know what? Costs have been going up for quite a few people. Yeah, there's some people that are making out in the health insurance business because, you know what? Those are the people that are on Medicaid now that weren't on it before. And wow, they've got coverage now. And there are certain people that, yes, it does benefit. But there are a lot more people that it doesn't benefit. Suddenly, you're having to pay more. That's the problem with this whole thing. There was not a focus on what is this going to do to us? What are the numbers going to mean for us? It's just this sense of, oh, you know what? We just, oh, affordable health care, and it's so wonderful, and we've got to do something about it, and oh, let's just pass it so we can find out what was in it. Let me tell you, the more articles I read, the more things that I look into, we're finding out what's in it. And we're finding out even more. We don't want it.
We're finding out it's a disaster.
You know, I've talked to people in the healthcare industry that have said it's an absolute train wreck. I haven't found a thing yet to indicate that it is. What I found instead makes that an understatement. This is bad news. You'd like to be a part of the program, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 803-73 if you want to text. As we continue on, Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. It's 427, 73 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. Been looking over the numbers for Obamacare. It does not look promising at all. And we've been talking with you about it as well. And what I want to hear is a defense of all of this. A defense of, you know, we've got the numbers that indicate it's more expensive now for health insurance, way more expensive now than it was before Obamacare. I want to hear a defense of that. I want to hear somebody stand up and go, well, here's the defense. Here's why that is. And it's interesting when these numbers come out just how strangely quiet it gets from the crowd that says, I support the president on this. It gets awfully quiet because these are not numbers that they can argue with. They say, well, my costs went down. Okay, why'd they go down? Let's talk about why they went down. And why everybody else's costs are going up. You know, that's the thing with all these numbers. Numbers don't lie. That's why you go and look at the numbers and you run the numbers and you see what the numbers are telling you. Because, you know, you could talk about, oh, what a good feeling it is to say that we're insuring more people and we're taking care of this and no one's being left behind. Well, what happens when the costs get so prohibitively expensive that middle-class people are being left behind? People in the middle class find that it is so expensive to do this that they can't afford it anymore. What happens when we get to that point? There is no defense for it. Because if you run the numbers and you know what's going on, then you can see that. And they'll sit there and say, well, insurance companies are making huge profits. Prove that. Prove they're making huge profits. And here's the thing. What is wrong with a for-profit company that got into business to make money actually doing what they decided they wanted to do from the start? I don't have a problem if they're making money, if they're serving well and they're doing well. But here's the thing. Them raising rates is not them saying, gee, we want to make more money. That's, gee, it costs more money to be in business. And if it costs more money to be in business, they have to raise their rates. And if they have to raise the rates, either we have to pay them or we have to decide, you know what, we'll pay the personal responsibility fee or whatever it is they're calling that thing. It's basically the Obamacare tax. These are things you can't you just can't deny. You can't argue with them unless you got solid numbers to go up against it. And right now, you don't see that from the other side of the debate. You probably won't see it either. 590 WKZO and the Jeremy Lawrence Show. .438, it is 73 degrees in Kalamazoo. Jeremy Lawrence here with you on the show. Glad that you could be with us. And you know what? We're closing in on it. We're closing in on the 5 o'clock hour. And, of course, we'll take you home with the latest news and all of that stuff. But we're closing in on that 5 o'clock hour, which puts most of us off for a holiday. And how many of us are looking forward to that? Show of hands. Yep. All right. Okay. Don't take your hands off the wheel to do that. You really don't want to do that. Stop doing that.
No, we don't want any accidents out there.
No. Don't do that. Don't do that. But yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to spending some time. I'm not sure what we're going to do in regards to fireworks, but I intend on being out and enjoying some at some point. We're going to find them. There's some good ones around. I know. Anyway, one thing I wanted to talk about. A poll was released by Quinnipiac University. This was released just yesterday. And this is interesting. They said, they just ran a little thing saying, all right, thinking about the United States presidents we've had since World War II, which one would you consider the best and worst president? Separate questions, but they laid it out. Well, this is interesting, looking at the list of worst presidents. Now, we go from Harry Truman to Barack Obama and every president in between. Worst presidents, your top four. At number four, Jimmy Carter. Boy, this is sounding interesting already. Jimmy Carter made number four on the list. You know, he used to make number one on this list. An awful lot of people that thought, yeah, he was the worst. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Number three, Richard Nixon. All right, justifiable, totally. I get that. Number two, people are going, all right, who's number two? All right, what are we talking about? Are we talking Lyndon Johnson? Who are we talking about? Number two, because some people are not expecting this one to be at number two, George W. Bush. 28% of respondents to this poll said that George W. Bush was the first president. So that leaves us with the number one on the list coming in at 33%, President Barack Obama. Yes, he's considered among the worst presidents. Now, this will give you a little bit of a chuckle. Looking at the list of the best presidents, this is again between Truman and Barack Obama. Here's your top four. Coming in at number four, the number four best president in America, President Barack Obama. I know you're sitting around, huh? A lot of people hated him. What?
Well, he's made the top four on both the best and the worst list.
Yeah, I know. He was number one on the worst list. He's number four on the best list. The best list rounded out by John F. Kennedy at number three, Bill Clinton at number two. I guess it's just kind of the game you go, oh, shucks, I like Bill. Isn't he great? He feels my pain, you know? And the number one best president, 35% of respondents to this poll said this, Ronald Reagan came in as the best president since World War II. That one, I think, totally justifiable. He is, in my opinion, one of our best. President that's responsible for ending the Cold War, for giving us some fantastic economic times. People would say the same thing about Bill Clinton. He inherited some pretty good times, all things considered. But you know, Ronald Reagan, he was saddled with pretty tough times and able to come out with some pretty good times at the end of it all. So, not that you would know, actually. Just looking over at Michael, like, he was born in 88. He was barely around. So, not that he would know, but, you know, that's what you can look back at history and see that. Now, I will say this, lest you sit here and think that I'm going to be absolutely gloating and say that, oh, Barack Obama deserves this. Barack Obama, you know, he's horrible. He's the worst president. Okay. To put your mind at ease, I think it is unfair to measure a current president on a poll like this. And here's why I think it. Particularly, think about the last three presidents, really, that we've had. How polarizing have they been? I think about it. Bill Clinton was pretty polarizing. Because there were people, oh, yeah, we love him. Yeah, he's Bill Clinton. Yeah, he's good. Times are great. Things are good. Yeah, you know, the economy's good. Oh, we love Bill. Sure. And the other side, I can't believe he lied under oath. I can't believe he did this. I can't. It's sex in the Oval Office, you know. Polarizing. You see what I'm saying? George W. Bush. To be continued there. You know that one. I don't have to go into how polarizing that was. How many people on the conservative side said they loved him? How many people on the other side said absolute? I mean, you know, compared him with Hitler.
Yikes.
You know, this, okay, polarizing. Exactly. Barack Obama. Polarizing. Exactly. So you think about it, with Obama, there's not this sense of, he's okay, whatever. It's either you love him or you loathe him. And I'll say this, you know, from my own perspective on him, I don't have any feelings about him personally. I'm sure as a person, I mean, I would love to sit down and debate the Constitution with the man. I would love to sit down and kick back with a cold one with him.
I'd love to go out and play a round of golf with him.
There you go. He'd probably be way better than I would. I'm sure of that.
And me too.
But I just don't agree with the policies that he stands for. The things that he feels are the solution to our problems. I don't agree with those. And therefore, I differ with him politically. And I believe that politically, and in terms of the policies, yeah, I don't think he's very good. But we're living through him right now. Think about, you know, and if you put this through approval ratings, I mean, you've gone through Gallup and things like that, and they go, all right, approval ratings of people like, well, Barack Obama, all right, this is what we get, yeah. All right, George W. Bush. Well, compare what he was like at the end of his presidency, approval ratings in the 30s, 40s. Put it now. I mean, the man hasn't really opened his mouth since his presidency. He's just been kind of quiet, kept to himself. Occasionally he comes out and you know, says something kind of awkward, laughs awkwardly, shakes his entire body, and then goes back in. You know, it's just, this is George W. Bush. He doesn't talk a lot. But you know what? You ask about approval ratings at this point, there are people going, well, yeah, George W. Bush is a decent guy. Yeah, okay, yeah. And approval ratings are, you know, right around 50% at this point. He hasn't been president for, what, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
And think about Barack Obama. I mean, after he gets out of office, his approval rating will go up, and it just naturally will, because people will go, well, you can't cause any trouble now. And people like me will go, you know what? Yeah, he's probably, yeah, I think my views on him reflect something that Mitt Romney said in the last campaign. He's not a bad guy. He just doesn't have a clue what to do. And I think that reflects my feelings on the man perfectly. So after an election, yeah, do you approve of him? Yeah, sure, whatever. I'm sure he mows his lawn very well. You know, that's fine. I'm sure he's going to be able to kick back on the beach in Hawaii very nicely. That's great. I don't have a problem with him. But I think it's unfair to be able to do that now and pull that now and say, all right, our current president, the absolute worst that we've ever had since World War II.
Yeah, wait about 4-6 years down the road, then come back and do this poll again.
Now, if you did that, chances are people would say, oh, George W. Bush. Yeah, he got us in all these wars. Yeah, that's pretty bad. But I think you would see the numbers on Jimmy Carter go up. I mean, Nixon, yeah, you're going to see those numbers go up, too, because of what he put through the country through and that kind of thing. But you would see Jimmy Carter's numbers go up, I think, a little bit more. He'd probably be right on par with Nixon, maybe not totally, but pretty close. But I think you would see George W. Bush's numbers go way up, just because people go, oh, man, he was awful. And there are people that say that, I mean, and it's regardless. There are Republicans that say that about the man. Now, best presidents, you know, I think it shows who people genuinely liked, who people could get together behind. Think about the people on the list, particularly the top three. People genuinely liked Ronald Reagan. I mean, not only in the first election when he ran for president, but when he ran for re-election, I mean, the man got very close to a 50-state sweep. He was several thousand votes away from taking Minnesota, the only state to go for Walter Mondale in 84. He was that popular. People loved him. And Ronald Reagan, you think about what happened in the 80s, and you think about what he brought to the table and the different things. I mean, I challenge you, if you sit there and think anything ill about Ronald Reagan, go to YouTube and just look up some of his speeches. Spend 5 minutes listening to him and see if you don't come out of one of those speeches feeling like, oh, I feel good now. Man, I feel good. He just had that ability.
I mean, he helped bring down the Berlin Wall, mm-hmm. Reaganomics, and plus he was a movie star.
Well, yeah,
back in the day,
and people enjoy that sort of thing. There was just something about seeing Ronald Reagan come on your screen, and well, things are going really well now, and well, but at the same time, you believed it when he came on and just says, you know, well, we're not going to stand for this. You know, the Russians want this, but no, that's not the way it's going to be. You knew he meant it. You knew he'd back it up. And so there's something about that inspires confidence. You go, man, this is a leader. And people said the same thing about John F. Kennedy. You know, man, this is a leader. This is a guy that we could believe in. My parents told me for years, and they're relatively conservative people, both of them voted Kennedy. Both of them did. And they talked about what a guy he was and what a guy, you know, what kind of man he was, what kind of leader he was. And you think about looking back in history, the assassination of President Kennedy. I mean, I just saw the video of that the other day. Walter Cronkite looked like he was about ready to bust out in tears.
Mm-hmm.
People loved the man. And for some reason, I still haven't figured it out. People loved Bill Clinton. The only thing I could figure is just because he just had this feeling like he went, aw, yeah, that's like my neighbor, you know?
Yeah, kind of down to earth, you know, played the saxophone on the late night shows, and, you know, he stopped in at fast food restaurants to talk mm-hmm. to people.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, picked up a little food while he was there,
yeah.
I'm sure, you know?
Yeah, Saturday Night Live did a whole skit about that.
Oh, yes, and that's a good one. If you've not seen it, go to YouTube and check it out. It's great. But, you know, people enjoy that sort of thing. And when you get somebody that comes on,
oh, you know, I feel your pain right now, and I just want to tell you that, you know, we're working as hard as we can to get this thing taken care of. And he was so personable. I understand that. That makes sense, and I think those best ofs are not going to change for quite some time. The worst ofs, I don't know. As we move along, it'll be interesting to see. Once we get past Obama, once we get into the next presidency, whoever it may be, it'll be interesting to see how these numbers change, how things mellow out. Will it mellow out for George W. Bush as things go along? Will it mellow out for Barack Obama? I don't know. I really don't have any idea, looking at those numbers, if they will. And a lot of it depends on who we end up with in the Oval Office the next time around. And imagine if it ends up being Hillary. Yeah, that might give Barack Obama a bit of a break. I don't know. We're going to continue ahead. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show, and it's 590 WKZO. Fifty-four, 73 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence with you on the show. Well, you know, earlier we talked about Obamacare, talked about the numbers, and went through and talked about some things. And when I talked about this, one of the things that I said that you have not heard from people that support the president on this, you've not heard numbers to indicate, see, things are good. About the only thing they can pull out is, see, people are getting insured. And, okay, they are, but you're holding a gun to their head, so, okay, I guess I see why. Now, we had someone that responded via text. I want to share their text with you and some comments on it as well. They're claiming that what I'm doing is beating a dead horse. So maybe you should stop beating the dead horse and start helping to find a solution. Insurance companies love people like you. Now, right there, they're giving away their position that insurance companies are the problem. Insurance companies are not the problem. Right now, what we had before we had Obamacare go into effect, the problem was that costs were going up way too high. And that's not insurance companies that drive that. Insurance companies are a response to the industry. And what's going on in the industry? You got malpractice suits. You've got the cost of everything going up because of that. Because how many of these lawsuits get brought up? And yeah, some of them are legitimate. That's fine. But there's a lot of frivolous lawsuits. What you need is to do some legal reform. That's part of it right there. The other part of it is to find market-based solutions. Find a way for the market to address it. And here's the thing. After Obamacare, the problem we have now, the government has gotten in the way of this. The government is stepping up and going, no, it's all got to be this way and this way only and frozen in this place. And that's it. That doesn't reflect the insurance company being the problem. Insurance companies are only responding to the actual problem. The costs are increasing. I think legal reform is a big part of it. I think you look at regulatory reform, you look at ways to be able to free it up so that guess what? When it's time for a medical decision, you get to sit down with your doctor, the one you want, and you're able to make the decision and not having somebody say, well, nope, no, we're not covering that. We're not going to cover that. That's not, you need to be able to have that. Are there ways to do things a little better? Absolutely. Absolutely there's ways to do things better. And it's not beating a dead horse to talk about what the numbers tell us. I think it is it's liberating to the mind when you begin to know the truth. And it's liberating to you when you know what the truth about an issue is. And numbers are truth. Numbers do not lie. Numbers tell you what you can expect, what you see now, and what you can expect down the road. And if the numbers say that insurance premiums have gone up by a certain percentage, how is that a lie? How is it a lie if numbers say, hey, you know what? It's more expensive now than it was before Obamacare was in place. If the numbers say that, then that's the truth. And telling you about it is simply being informative. It is simply doing the thing that I do, which is read a lot. Read a ton and pass this information on. And I hope that as you go along and as you hear about this stuff, please, by all means, don't just take my word for it. Don't just take what I'm saying for it. Look up some of the numbers. Look up some of the insights that people have on this. Go to a lot of different sources. I'm not just saying, you know what, go and see what Fox News has to say. It's not just looking at Fox News. It's looking at Fox News and MSNBC and CBS and CNN and looking at independent news sources all over the country and looking at the insights that you can glean from a lot of different sources on things. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do on any and every story. I bring it up to you, and I hope that as you hear me talk about things, you go, you know what? When I get the opportunity, I'm going to sit down in front of my computer, and I'm going to start looking this up, and I'm going to start educating myself in this, and I'm going to start finding out what the truth is. When you do that, you approach it from an informed perspective and not just a, oh, it feels so good. It feels so good goes away. Informed perspective. The facts remain at the end of the day. Gonna do it. Have yourself a great Independence Day. We'll see you later.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.